Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
And that's the only thing I'm throwing it out there. If you think that's it's okay, but I don't think it is. I think that somebody that's on a city board should have the best interests of the city at heart, right?
So I'm just going to repeat what you said, Mike, which was someone on a city board should not put the city at risk. But I'm pretty sure you got charged for that very thing.
I want to be very, very careful. I love you to death, Mike. I want to be careful that we don't turn these boards into political positions. And that's kind of where we're going down here. I would.
Yes, it did cost the city additional funds to finish the litigation on this. My biggest argument isn't even that. It's anybody that works for the city or for the city council should be supporting the city and the city council and not bashing the city or the city council or the mayor.
No bashing, no badgering, no lawsuits. Well, I mean, you can file any lawsuit you want, but if you file a lawsuit, then you're going to run the risk of getting kicked off of the boards that you volunteer on. Okay, trying to get you up to speed. If you have not followed today's show, 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, the podcasts are out there. You should listen. The voices you heard there, Mike Cusack, raising the question of, well, hey, $68,000 we spent on this litigation over the public records that Mayor Lindsay has still to this day not completely produced. Litigation that was made necessary by her refusal to produce them. Alex Andrade tried to get her to produce them just voluntarily, you know, according to the law, without having to go to law and sue. And then they did, and they were winning. And then you change city council, and so the new city council abandoned the lawsuit and now keeps griping about all the money that was spent on the litigation that they decided to drop, that they were winning, that they probably would have gotten lawyers' fees paid for had they continued to pursue it. But anyway, and then, you know, Mike Cusack keeps griping about that. Then a follow-up lawsuit by a guy named Howard Steele, who sits on two city boards, has been involved in, let's just say, vigorous public conversation at the podium with particularly Mike Cusack and also Mayor Heather Lindsay. He was a candidate for county commission, did not win. He spent a lot of time in the city fighting with them. I think Howard Steele is generally on the right side of these issues. He sued the city to follow up on that public records request. That didn't come to anything, at least not yet. Cost the city $3,500. Mike Cusack says he shouldn't be on these boards if he's not aligned with us, if he's not on our side, if he's costing the city money. I mean, he can sue anybody he wants. It's fine. He keeps saying that. But then Cassie Powell, the wife of Casey Powell, city council member, says, oh, look, you know, it's Rich Mike brings this problem because you yourself had an ethics charge and you paid an agreement, a settlement with the state over that for public records. And Tom Powers says, I like you, but we shouldn't be punishing people for their politics. And now Larry McKee, I think, is the more interesting version of Mike Cusack on this, because Larry McKee is saying, look, if you sit on these boards, you represent us, and if you represent us and then you're adverse to us, you should not be on these boards anymore.
And when you work on a board, you are actually working for city and the city council. And if we can't get that kind of cooperation on a regular basis, everybody's entitled to their opinion 100%. And I've done this in managerial positions for years.
Again, I always say, the more people offer you the, hey, everybody's allowed to sue, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion, the more you have these kind of caveats and CYAs, the more I don't believe you, okay? Because listen to what he says. You can hold your opinion.
And I've done this in managerial positions for years. You're entitled to your opinion, but when you work for me, it's my opinion that really matters because you're the face of my business now, and that's when our boards are the face of the city and the city council and the mayor. And so I agree 100%. I don't need anybody on any board that I'm going to try to listen to that truly wants to bash any of us.
When you work for me, it's my opinion that counts. I don't want to listen to you bashing us if you work for me. Wow. Okay, all right, keep going. Say more.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We've got broad shoulders. We got voted into these positions, and the previous members that were here got beat up pretty bad and so quite often undeserved. However, we don't need to get it from people that are supposed to be helping us and supporting us, the board members. So I agree. I don't feel he should be on any board. And anybody else that wants to step up there and do the same thing and treat it should also be removed from any board that we have. You're not here to bash us. You're here to help us. That's what a board's about.
So if you want to bash us, if you want to criticize us, if you want to exercise, what is that thing? It comes before the gun thing in the Constitution. There's the warrants thing, and there's the gun thing, and there's the self-incrimination thing. But before that, there's like a religion piece, there's a press piece, there's something about getting together with other people. And what is that one?
Do you need help, Andrew?
Is it freedom of speech? Is that the one? Is it
that's it?
Right to petition your government for redress? Or, is that the one?
Yes.
You're right there. So if you can have it, and you can use it. But you better use it the way I like, or else we're going to kick you off these boards. Holy authoritarianism, Batman. Like, holy petty dictatorship, Batman. Like, you're saying that if you're obnoxious in the city council meeting, we're going to punish you? Oh, my God. Pitchfork posse much? Like, holy smokes. This is, I mean, look, Larry McKee has kind of been a fairly reasonable guy on this. You know, Mike Cusack always... but Larry's kind of been, but this, like, I couldn't, John, you're hearing this, you're a Milton City resident.
Oh, yes.
Are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Oh, I am. And just like he said, you could be voted in and you could also be voted out.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to have these positions? I mean, that's fine. Speak your mind. But you better say what I say or else.
Mind blown.
Let's do traffic and we'll come back. There's more. Go ahead, John.
There's more. Oh, boy. All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're on Avalon Boulevard southbound, right around San Marco Street, heading down to I-10, just know that there's congestion there, and it's about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that to get to I-10. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah. Wow. So, and let's be clear, people who serve on board serve at the pleasure of the appointing agency, okay? And there is an element of, you know, like, for example, Santa Rosa Island Authority has people appointed by the Board of County Commissioners, and each one gets their own appointee. And if you're like, you know, Steve Stroberger's appointee, and you attack Steve Stroberger, I mean, you're dumb, okay? But certainly it's your First Amendment. Certainly it's both free speech and petition or government for redress of grievances. I mean, Mike Cusack and now Larry McKee are both saying out loud, hey, if you sue, you're fine to sue, but you better not. You know, and you're fine to speak, but you better not. Or at least you do, you better agree with me, or else we're going to remove you from these boards. And again, Tom Powers is going to come in here and be the hero, I think.
And I agree with that, Larry. It's, like I said, I just want to be careful. That's a really slippery slope when you start moving people off because of, you know, I'm not a fan of the individual either, but he's got a right to speak.
Howard Steele.
And I agree. Absolutely agree. Those board positions work for the city. They work for us. We have the right to control them. I just don't want to go down that slippery slope where every time somebody stands up here two or three times at a couple of city meetings or something and, you know, has an issue, that we hold that threat of throwing them off of the board. That's my position.
Wow. And listen, let's give accuracy where it's due. Howard Steele has been obnoxious in the city council meetings. John, is he the only one that's been obnoxious in the city council? I mean, it's just a lot of... And also, okay, so he's argumentative. He's also right most of the time. And, you know, maybe you don't like his tone. I don't know. Okay, but here in public, we're just going to acknowledge that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to punish this guy because we don't like where he stands on these things. He's on two different boards. Let's see. What were the boards exactly? I just forget. The Community Improvement Board is one, and I forget what the other one was. I had written it down, but then I lost that piece of paper. Anyway, so Mike Cusack, after all of this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wasn't trying to make it political. I was just saying that.
It's 100% political. What are you talking about?
I wasn't trying to make it political. I was just saying that somebody that represents the city, in true, like Larry says, worship, they should not be taking action that is detrimental to the city, that costs the city money.
Well, again, he thought it was beneficial to the city and the citizens because he was trying to force the city to give up or at least get the records from Heather Lindsay that she has so far not produced. He was trying to do something for the city. And you may disagree about that, but it's not like he was trying to harm the city. In fact, the city could have been unharmed if she had just given them up voluntarily. Or if the city had pursued getting fees after it would likely have won the case, there's all kinds of ways this could have turned out differently. Anyway, Tom Powers.
But I think we have to go back and look at this. Is that person standing up here or doing that on their own out in town somewhere else, does that violate what they're doing as a member of the board?
He's saying, look, if they're doing it here, they're not on the board when they're doing it. If they're doing it in town on their own on social media, they're not on the board. The question is, are they doing their job when they're on these boards?
That's the end of the day. They've got a job to do on the board, and are they doing that job?
Can I say something real quick? You know, the item is review costs to the city. Can we stay to that, I guess, for now, if we need to discuss this at a later date? If that makes sense.
Yeah, like this isn't not related to to the item, really. Okay. So anyway, Marilyn Farrow.
Another way to look at this is, even though it was unpleasant and expensive for an additional suit to be brought against our mayor, is that the board members have term limits. So this is something we can look at when that board member's term expires. They do not have to be reappointed, even if they express their interest in running, being reappointed to another term. So that's just another way to look at this.
So maybe we could just, like, not reappoint him the next time around. We could do the same thing. And by the way, there's all kinds of things you could consider in whether you reappoint somebody or not. So I just think it was fascinating, the, you know, no bashing, no lawsuits, no costing the city money, no loud disagreements. I mean, do you have to curtsy before you address their highnesses on the dais? Do you have to use only polite language in your use of the First Amendment? Do you, what about on social media? Is there going to be now, if you're on these boards, you know, you have to be polite on social media, have to be nice and kind on, no mean tweets, you know? No mean Facebook posts. You know, we don't want to convict you of second-degree misdemeanor bashing. Like, do you have to sign a waiver of surrendering your free speech when you go onto these boards? Conditional on good behavior? And what about employees? You know, I don't know. I'm listening to this thinking, with all the they got free speech. Better not use it. They can sue. Better not do it. You know, they can have a contrary voice. Better not. We will have loyalty. We have ways of making you not say what you think.
That's pretty good.
Am I overreacting or did I hear it right?
No. Okay. I would say take a knee, but you made a curtsy and I said take a knee.
That's right. Please, Your Highness, I would like to address the holy and exalted city council, and at your pleasure, sir, if I do it in a way that pleases your pristine and holy ears, then maybe perchance with a second bowl of porridge you can allow me to stay on the volunteer board. Sir, please, sir, a little mercy and grace for thy humble servant. Oh, man.
Oh, amazing.
I just don't even know sometimes. And if perchance I can stay in thine good graces, maybe I can serve again in this volunteer position for my city, the city that flows with good living and disgusting politics, the city of Milton. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Even though so many corporations are celebrating Gay Pride Month, my Christian faith just won't let me. After all, there are 7 places in Scripture where homosexuality is addressed and condemned. And my heart genuinely breaks for individuals who are caught up in that lifestyle. I want to see them washed, sanctified, and justified, as is described in 1 Corinthians 6. I want to see them saved. No one loves the LGBTQ people more than Jesus does. No one is able to help them like he can. But for the Christian to celebrate Gay Pride Month is not love. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, explains that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It's saying Christians can't celebrate sin. Love doesn't do that. To celebrate any type of sin, instead of warn against it, is to personally escort individuals straight to hell. So Christian person, let us be loving enough to warn others about sin and invite them to the Savior.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pecola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Stop by the Palafox Market Saturday mornings. Stroll and check out our local artisans' crafts and handiwork, locally grown produce, and freshly baked breads, goodies, and other foods, all along North Palafox from 9 till 2. Join the World Ocean Day celebration hosted by the Perdido Key Chamber at Perdido Key Community Center from 9 till 3. It's a day for all ages to explore and learn. More at visitperdido.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let me clear my throat!
Good morning, 726 News Radio 92.3. Happy Thursday to you. Beautiful day out today. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Should let the music keep going. I really like that song. Anyway, no accidents to report to you right now. I mean, I was moving and grooving like I was in the 80s.
You sure were.
Let's see here. If you're on Avalon Boulevard southbound heading toward I-10, expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay. And traffic is also backing up on Davis Highway southbound as you approach Olive Road. And I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 5 minute congestion delay on I-10 eastbound. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Name the movie.
Oh, great. I knew you were going to do this.
Let's watch that attitude, boy. Dancing is not a sin. Nothing. You're almost there. I can see it on your face.
I know.
Tractor Chicken.
And I know people are yelling at their radios right now. I'm having a...
Kevin Costner. Kevin Bacon. Is it Footloose. Footloose, yeah. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Indiana Governor Mike Braun says his state has run out of lethal injection drugs. Indiana executed a death row inmate in December and another last month. Its first execution since 2009. Braun says he's open to addressing how to move forward with executions, given he doesn't want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a drug that has only a 90-day shelf life. A recently restored Kobe and Gianna Bryant mural is apparently covered in graffiti again. This mural's in downtown Los Angeles. It was vandalized sometime this week, the second time now that that's happened in about a month. And a Montana teenager has become the youngest woman to climb the highest mountain on every continent. Emma Schwerin is her name. She completed that achievement known as the Seven Summits May 15th after climbing Mount Everest. She is only 17 years, 2 months, and 24 days old.
17 years old?
And she's climb at the highest mountain on every continent.
Okay.
It's quite an achievement.
All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate that update. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home or, you know, looking at a vacation rental maybe, perhaps you are thinking about a long-term rental or a fix and flip, or, you know, you just want to move to the water or away from the water or to town or away from, I don't know. Everybody's got a bigger house, smaller house, whatever. Looking for a house for kids, you know? Okay, all kinds of possibilities. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sold 165 homes last year. They sold 175 the year before that. They know how to do this. They know the market. And one of the things we sometimes talk about, like the real estate market. Well, the real estate market is not really a thing, okay? The market is different at, 300,000 than from 500,000. And it's different in Warrenton versus Cantonment versus Pace versus Gulf Breeze versus Navarre. Like, it's a whole bunch of different markets. And so, for example, you know, $300,000 homes might be sitting and $500,000 homes might be moving. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's all, and so you need people who have enough experience of all of these things so they can really help advise you of what's happening in that region at that price level for the kinds of things that you're interested in. You know, again, whether it's residential that you're trying to live in or whether it's residential that you're trying to rent out. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. They can help you with all of that. Big county commission meeting today where they're going to talk about the sale of OLF 8, maybe for $42.5 million to the Tri-W Group, Chad Henderson's group. We'll see. That's tonight at 5:30. David Wayne with local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump welcomes the new German Chancellor Friedrich Merz to the White House later this morning.
The visiting leader is apparently going to try to talk Trump out of hiking tariffs on the EU next month and encourage him not to pull back from treaties that require the U.S. to defend Europe, like NATO.
Fox's Peter Giudice at the White House. The Elon Musk bashing of the president's one big beautiful bill ramps up. He wants a new plan. House Speaker Mike Johnson says not so fast.
We don't have time for a brand new bill. And I want Elon and all my friends to recognize the complexity of what we've accomplished here, this extraordinary piece of legislation.
The bill currently in the Senate. The accused Boulder, Colorado terrorist in state court today to face a number of charges, including 16 counts of attempted murder in the first degree. Well, a federal judge has blocked the deportations of the suspect's family. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is a beautiful morning, 77 degrees. We'll get more with our weather forecast and meteorologist Brooke Richardson from Channel 3 in just a few minutes. A family, dog, were rescued from a sinking boat near Pensacola Beach earlier this week. Midway Fire responded to that call Sunday. The vessel was taking on water in the Santa Rosa Sound, and there were two adults, two kids, and a dog on board. Officials say everybody was wearing a life vest, and they were safely brought on board a rescue boat. No injuries were reported in that case. The victim of a rental scam in Baldwin County was almost arrested this week. Joe Baglioni and his family moved into a home in Foley several weeks ago after making a deal on Facebook Marketplace, reportedly paying thousands of dollars for a deposit. Well, it turns out they were scammed. That person was not the homeowner. They found out just last week they'd need to move immediately. But they say that's complicated because they've got a quadriplegic son at the home who's on a ventilator.
Time. We'll go.
That's Joe Baglioni. Yesterday, that his time nearly ran out, though. He says he was placed in handcuffs and almost arrested as a squatter by police. Officials do say they took a step back and realized that there was no signed arrest warrant, so they released him back to the home. Well, green and black balloons filled the sky in Mobile this week to honor the man that was killed at the Mobile Sanger Theater earlier this
week. Friends and family members of Carl Williams III released the balloons as a nod to his memory and spread the message of living positively and loving one another in his honor. The balloons were green and black, as he had been a big fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. Details of Williams' funeral process are still being sorted, with his burial currently being planned for June 14th. I'm Austin Price with News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Florida lawmakers hashing out a state budget. July 1st, a potential government shutdown is looming if both sides don't end up agreeing. The Florida Division of Emergency Management asked the Joint Legislative Budget Commission members for an $850 million transfer from the state general revenue fund to pay costs associated with Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton.
FDEM is committed to ensuring that the state receives as much reimbursement as possible from the federal government for these costs. To do so, we are now in the phase where the state must first pay their expenses in order to get reimbursed.
Executive Director Kevin Guthrie, the commission did approve that request. Officials are hoping to have a budget heading to the governor's desk by June 16th. Florida is appealing a federal court ruling that blocked a 2023 law aimed at preventing kids from going to drag shows. Attorney General James Uthmeyer requested a rehearing from the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. He argues the law is necessary to protect minors from adult performances. Critics, though, claim the law is overly vague and infringes on First Amendment rights. The appeal does come as the court also considers another case regarding a drag show in Naples. In that case, the city was seeking to impose some restrictions. A new law that takes effect at the end of the month would hold juveniles accountable if they deal drugs that end up killing another person. It was inspired by the death of 17-year-old Devin Ramos. The Hillsborough teen overdosed just about a year ago on a Percocet pill that was laced with fentanyl. It had been sold to him by another juvenile.
There isn't a day that goes by that I do not think about him and miss him tremendously.
That's Ramos's mother, Amy Almeida, and she says that the Hillsborough sheriff lobbied lawmakers to change the law, which previously applied only to adults. It allows murder charges for juveniles involved in overdose deaths. It takes effect July 1st. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Let's see. We've got one accident that just happened, but it's a no roadblock on Wild Lake Boulevard and 8 Mile Creek Road. But other than that, we are still rolling accident-free. I-10 seeing some minor backup between I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much. John, now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be dealing with the chance of rain as you go throughout your day. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Friday, 40% chance of rain. High near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Going into Saturday, keeping those daily showers around with a 40% chance of rain. High near 89. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
77 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies and a beautiful morning. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk has ramped up his attacks against the massive tax cut bill President Trump is pushing Congress to pass. Musk began vocally criticizing Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill the day before when he slammed it as a disgusting abomination. A judge in Los Angeles has denied Walt Disney's request for a preliminary injunction and a temporary restraining order aimed at preventing longtime executive Justin Connolly from joining Alphabet's YouTube. Disney filed a lawsuit against YouTube to stop the appointment, alleging breach of contract, unfair competition, and interference with a contractual relationship. Tonic maker Fevertree Drinks said it will equally split costs of the 10% tariff to be imposed on the UK imports to the US with brewer Molson Coors as part of their recent tie-up to mitigate the short-term impact. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 91, the NASDAQ up 61, the S&P 500 up barely half a point. That's your money now.
Summer's here, and it's the perfect time to tackle those DIY projects. At the Pensacola Habitat Restore, you'll find unbeatable deals on furniture, home goods, tools, and more. Whether you're upcycling, redecorating, or just hunting for that perfect piece, they've got what you need at prices that won't break the bank. Plus, every purchase helps build affordable homes right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Swing by the Restore Tuesday through Saturday at 9th Avenue and Creighton Road, and let your summer project begin.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I probably shouldn't say this on Facebook, I saw this hilarious post. It was from the San Diego Padres Stadium, Petco Field. Outside the umpire's locker room, it has a placard on the wall that says umpires in big, bold blue, and then room 141. And then it has the Braille below it. For the vision impaired umpire. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us now by phone. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we had, man, you know, some weeks you and I talk and it's super nothing, and then some weeks you and I talk and it's a lot. This is one of those lot. Pensacola Village has had, okay, a stabbing, a shooting, and now a shooting that resulted in a homicide. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been unfortunately very busy for us over in Pensacola Village. We made an arrest in the stabbing, and the other shooting where the individual was shot in the leg we're still working on, and then the homicide, that most recent shooting over there, we're still working on that and hope to have an arrest on that soon.
Are they, I mean, connected, not connected, just really bad coincidental timing?
Yeah, it's the latter.
Okay.
I don't, if there's a connection, I haven't been told about that, but you know, as you well know, there sometimes there is a connection, but right now at this point I can't say that for sure.
Okay. And it's like, these are domestic related, these are crime drugs related, a mixture of both, can't quite know, aren't sure yet.
Yeah, a lot of times the people know each other, the suspect and the victim know each other, and that's been the case here.
Okay.
So far, except for the homicide case, that one's still under investigation.
And we also had a bunch of vehicle incidents, motorcycles and pedestrians. I mean, like four or five of them. Let's start. I think historically, the most distant from us was the racing incident on Three Mile Bridge that you and I talked about last week, where you had a car and a motorcycle racing. He couldn't navigate the curve at Gregory and wound up passing away. Is that right?
Yeah, he did, unfortunately. And like you said, we had two of them. We had another one early Sunday morning at 9th and Bayou. There were two motorcycles traveling at a high rate of speed. One of them lost control right north of 9th and Bayou, pretty much in front of Sacred Heart Hospital. And that was a horrific crash as well. So, you know, we're hoping obviously the best for that individual, but you know, we talk about it all the time. When motorists need to be careful, look for joggers, look for pedestrians, look for motorcycles, but that can go the other way. In all of these cases, the two motorcycle incidents and the pedestrian being hit, it was the fault of the two motorcycles and the pedestrian, not the motor vehicle. So there was only one motor vehicle involved, and that was the pedestrian incident. The two motorcycle incidents were single vehicle crashes. But when you're jogging, when you're crossing crosswalks, you've got to cross with the light. And obviously, when you're on motorcycles, and most of the time motorcyclists are the safest people on the road simply because they have to be. But we've all seen it, just like we people in cars. There are going to be people that just have a disregard for the law and their safety and the safety of others around them.
The one note on the racing incident that I wanted to make sure I had right is that the driver of the car that was also racing did not get issued a citation. Is that right?
Yeah. So there was a high rate of speed. And before you charge somebody with racing, you need to be able to completely, you know, prove it 100%.
To document it.
This was, being at a high rate of speed, and she slowed down well before the end of the bridge, and the motorcycle did not, and we felt like that there was just not enough there to charge her.
If two people are racing and there's a crash, is there, what I'm thinking of is like the felony murder rule, right? Like if I drive the car and we go to the convenience station and my friend gets out and shoots and kills somebody, I get to murder charge too because I'm part of the felony. Is there any analog to that when it comes to racing, or is it just the racing charge if you're in a racing incident and somebody dies?
Yeah, it's an enhancement. That is the reason, you know, it's why it happened. So absolutely it plays a part into it. It's more of a intent or a complete disregard than it is an accident.
Okay, I thought that was the case, but I wasn't entirely sure. That's why I wanted to ask you. And then also on parade day last Saturday for Fiesta, right before the parade, or really a couple of hours before the parade, we had an incident right there on Garden at Palafox. I want to talk about that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. The incident that happened right before the Fiesta Parade on Saturday, you had kind of mentioned it a moment ago, was a jogger who got hit by a car, but they were crossing inappropriately. Is that right?
That's correct. Crossing against the light. So it's not the fault of the vehicle that was involved. It was the pedestrian. It was the jogger. So you just got to – there's a lot of traffic downtown. It's a congested area. And again, most of the time, the joggers are – that's something we normally don't have to worry about. They're very cognizant of traffic laws and ways that things could go bad. But in this incident, the individual just – I don't know if failed to see that he was crossing against the traffic or just did it anyway. I don't know. But it resulted in serious injuries for him, and we're glad he's going to be okay.
Maybe it's worthwhile, we do this periodically, to just kind of talk about the rules, because in Florida we have very particular rules, and in Florida it is not illegal to jaywalk unless you impede traffic, in which case if you are not in a crosswalk or you do not have a light with your permission to go attached to it, like just because it's a crosswalk doesn't mean you're safe, because if it's at a light, you can't cross against them going the right of way. But if you interfere with traffic, it's your fault, not their fault. Even if you get hit, it's your fault, not their fault, right?
That's correct. If you're crossing against the light on a pedestrian crosswalk, you're essentially a pedestrian running a light. It's the same thing as if you were in a vehicle running the light. So, and like you said about jaywalking, there is no such thing in Florida. You can cross the street pretty much anywhere you want to, but when you impede the flow of traffic or you cause a danger or you cause a vehicle to have to slam on the brakes to avoid you, and that causes a rear-end collision, then it's a different story.
And then when it comes to the crosswalk itself, if you are in a marked crosswalk, not at a light against their traffic, right, but a regular old crosswalk like on Main Street or something, cars must stop for you. It would then be their fault. And how long do they have to stay stopped? Is it the entire time that you are in the crosswalk at all, either direction, or is it just when you've cleared their lane of traffic?
It would be, we would like you to stay there and look both ways to make sure there's not more people. But as long as they are clear of your lane of traffic, you can proceed.
Okay. And, you know, I will just tell you as a pedestrian, you know, and as a bicyclist and as a driver, you know, whenever I'm crossing, like on Main Street is my favorite example of this. I know there's a crosswalk there. I know I have the right of way. But just like I teach my kids, it's better to be alive than right. I never step out in front of traffic unless I see them stop. And it is consistent that you've got about a 50-50 chance that first car is going to stop or not, right? I mean, that's, and which is illegal for them, but that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, you need to, when you're crossing like that, there's two things you got to remember. You need to make eye contact with the driver. Don't assume that he or she sees you. Make eye contact with them. And then once you've done that, you need to look the other way again because there could be another vehicle coming. And I believe that's what happened from the information that I had on Garden Street. One vehicle passed this jogger, and then he didn't see the other one coming from the other direction. So make eye contact and look again before you cross.
I have also learned that if you are taking a cell phone video of their driving behavior, people are a little bit quicker to stop. So just, you know, just staying there. There's things you can do to make sure your rights are protected. So, which, you know, God forbid you need that video, but it could come in handy. And then there was another incident. We had a 15-year-old that was hit by a car. Is that right on Saturday?
Yeah, that was also on Saturday at 9th and Barcia. A 15-year-old was hit. He, too, is going to be okay. But it was just a horrible week for motorcycles and pedestrians. And, you know, we had one fatality. And, again, we're fortunate that there weren't more.
Yeah, absolutely. Fortunate that there weren't more. I know you heard me talking yesterday with the mayor. One of the things about the Fiesta Parade was a very low attendance compared to many other parades. And the question of cost, which now with the enhanced security measures post New Orleans, Bourbon Street, you know, New Year's Eve, is PPD also looking at this question of, you know, what's the good staffing level? What's the cost appropriateness? I mean, I know the mayor's ultimately or the city council or whoever's going to ultimately make these decisions, but do you guys have a perspective on the sort of appropriate size of some of these parades and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's it does cost a lot of money to have these intersections, have officers in these intersections. And the ones that we do know over the years that there are lighter parades and there are heavier parades as far as attendance goes. And changing the route for the lighter ones is something that's being looked into. The command staff is in collaboration with the mayor's office to see if we can get something done about that, because it's just something that's needed and it's needed to be looked at for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes the right size is a smaller size, and that's okay. There's no reason to just, out of what pride and habit, say we got to do it this way all the time because we've always done it this way. Hey, I did want to follow up with you briefly. There's one, you and I had talked several times. I talked with the chief even about this. You know, my son had a minor fender bender in the parking lot at Walmart in Creighton, and an officer had, you know, eventually come out and had body camera, which is kind of what we were hoping for. It turns out the person who ran into my son completely changed his mind and stopped, didn't take the blame, even though he said it many times at the scene of the accident. Oh, it's my fault, totally my fault, in front of the officer and everything. And then changed his tune when it came to the insurance. And so we basically had to come back and request the body cam video. It took a long time to get, which is kind of what I want to talk with you about. But, I mean, it was like, you know, more than a month or two, really, to get this body cam. But we did eventually get it, and they were very polite and wonderful people to help us with that. But I just more wanted to bring it up because people may not realize that you guys are way over demand on the body cam requests and the dash cam requests, right?
Yeah, we have one person taking care of all of those requests that come in. They are addressed in the order that they come in most of the time. In some cases, there are time-sensitive issues involved and that we will pull a video, take a look at it, and get that out because of time-sensitive issues. And this individual that we have doing this is doing a great job. She's overwhelmed, and I can tell you what's gumming up the gears, if you will, and that's people that will demand body cam video from several officers for no reason, no particular reason. They're not looking for anything in particular, but it's their right to request that.
Yeah.
And then they take that video, and when they find something that's interesting, these are content creators on social media. They find something that's interesting, they post it on their blog or on their whatever they're doing on their social media site, and we see Pensacola police officers up there, and that's how that happened. They're just blindly requesting all kinds of video. And all of that video has to be reviewed and has to be redacted. There are some parts of that video, such as medical issues or facilities or inside someone's home, that one person has to redact, and that takes a lot of time. So we have a lot of people that need this video for legitimate reasons, and then we have those who are just misusing the system, even though it's completely legal. It's their right to do so. But that's what's taking so long.
Boy, I'll tell you that, you know, it's frustrating to hear that because, you know, these are people who are basically turning you guys into their production department, which is kind of disgusting. But, you know, as you say, it is their right to request. But other people who really need it for some legal purpose, and the redaction is hard to do. Like, you can't just dump the video out there because police see all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things that get recorded, including minors that, you know, you cannot disclose. And so it's, you know, that's a big part of what gums up the system a lot of times. So, you know, I just wanted to let people hear that for themselves. So if it's taking a while, there's a reason. It's not like they're going slow or anything like that. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. You have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, and we talked about this, I think it was a year or so ago, and it's when you call the police for something, maybe a suspicious person on a bicycle or walking or driving in your neighborhood or something else like that that's minor that, you know, we have to prioritize our calls, and those will be put to the back, and emergencies obviously have to be handled first. But there's been some complaints and some comments on social media that the police department never showed up, and that's simply not true. We keep a record of every call that goes out. who the officer was that responded and when he or her responded. And also the dispatcher is going to ask you, would you like contact with the officer? And if you say no, then the officer is not going to come to your home. The officer is not going to have dispatch or call them back yourself and talk to you unless you want that. There's people that simply want to report things and they don't want the police at their house. But and there's also supervisors and investigators and others in the department that can come by in unmarked cars because they happen to be close when that call comes out. And they go through there looking for that suspicious person or whatever the call is. And to someone who's looking, they may not understand or understand what they're looking at, that a marked car just went through there and handled that call for you. So I can assure you that every single call is going to be addressed. There's going to be an officer that shows up. But if you want contact with the officer, you must tell the dispatcher.
Yeah, no, and that's like, I know whenever we've had to call, and we live in the county, so it's the sheriff's department, but same thing. They always ask, do you want to see an officer? And, you know, usually I'm just trying to make sure that they're informed, you know, so I don't need to talk to somebody. And if you then complain that they didn't come talk to you, well, because you said you didn't need to, you know, let's be fair about this. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. And thank you to all of your officers for keeping us safe. We really, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to hamper your way in. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors sells good quality used vehicles, almost new. You know, like they don't specialize in the 10-year beater, okay? They specialize in the car that's a year or two old, maybe as much as three or four, with 10 to 40, maybe 1,000 miles. You know, that's what they – like we bought a Honda Odyssey from them that was a year old, had been leased, brought back to the dealership in Orlando. They couldn't sell it. They put it for auction. 90 days later, we had a car. You know, that's basically how that worked. And I mean, 1 year old with a 12 or 13,000 miles on it for a really good price, but that's what they specialize in. Okay. And they have a great selection, 300 different cars and trucks. You can go sample as many as you like. You only have to talk to one salesperson. And even then you don't really have to talk to, I mean, if you just want to go sit in a bunch of cars, they're open, go sit in a bunch of cars. I mean, you got to talk to somebody to drive them, but you know, that's even real easy too. I mean, you know, the times when I have been there and looked at cars, it's just, They understand that nobody likes to do this, except John, but John's weird, that most people don't like to look for a car, and so they want to make it as, like, not inconvenient as possible. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part?
Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With 4 powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Frustrated with your health insurance?
Whether you're a business executive or just trying to afford your next doctor visit, tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Monday at 9. Mark Fox, president of CBG, will reveal how you can flip the script on the insurance companies and healthcare providers. You deserve cost savings and a smarter health plan that actually works for you. Hear the inside scoop from the anti-insurance agents, then bring the ideas to your boss Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Trying to beat 95 cents. Oh, yes, it went all the way around.
We need to have a universal symbol for just miss. Like, you know, heart-like, just like miss. Bob Barker's a miss. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a federal judge is blocking the deportation of the family of the man charged with carrying out that attack in Colorado this week. The U.S. District Judge issued a ruling that bars the Trump administration from removing the wife and five children of Mohammed Salman.
Local talk.